We can turn to Exodus. We're reading tonight Exodus 12, verse 13. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Praise God. And then verse 21, 23. Blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a punch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two sides of the post with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in onto your houses to smite you. Let's just bow our heads again for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I pray this evening that you will wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us, and we'll praise thy lovely name. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that your word will not return void, but will accomplish the thing you send it to do and prosper in it. Lord, I take again the promised Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Ghost. And I take the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you, Lord, you undertake for me. Lord, bless those that's here tonight. And has already been prayed. For those that couldn't be here, bless them. Heal them and touch them. And for those, Lord, that's been brought aside by a lie or a trick of the devil, may you speak to their hearts. And may you deal with them. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your own people that's here and strengthen them. And speak to us from your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I want to continue on from this morning. And you know, right away when you read this portion of Scripture, one of the first things I see in this portion of Scripture, and I think this is a very wonderful thing, you know, if you saw the Ten Commandments, you saw how that the plagues came in Egypt, and you saw the judgments God brought upon Egypt because they wouldn't let God's people go. And we know it was prophesied that they would be down in Egypt for that amount of time, by the prophets prophesied it. But it was also prophesied that a deliverer will come and that he'd bring them out. We know that that deliverer was Moses. And we know that Moses, when the children was born, and it's a striking thing really all through the Bible, that every time there was a promise of a seed coming, the devil tried to destroy that seed. And we see at the birth of Moses that the astrologers and those in them times, that you know how you have the prophets, then those that's not believers but they work gifts, well, they were always there all along. And they could see the signs lining up in the heavens, and they heard of this promise of a deliverer coming, and Pharaoh gave out the decree that all the male children would be destroyed. But Moses' mother said that it was said of Moses he was a proper child, a goodly child. And in order to deceive him, she made a little basket, and she put him in it, and she wrote, send him down the Nile. And Brother Branham said the Nile full of sharks and different stuff could have just caught him and eat him. But God preserved him, for God's hand was on him. And Moses was floated right in to the huts of his animal. My chauvinistic floated right into Pharaoh's house and reared up in the house of Pharaoh and was like Pharaoh's own son and trained in all the craft of the Egyptians and in all the craft of war. Moses was a very smart man. I want you to know that. And you know the story, how that it's come about that when Moses saw one of his brethren being whipped, he come to the time where the Bible says he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that's what happened many of us. Many of us might have been in a dead denomination. Many of us might have been under some system. But when we heard the truth from the Word of God, we refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, and we came out because of God's Word. Amen. And Moses reached that time for he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And rather he suffered with the children of Israel, and we know that he slew a man that fought with his own brethren. Moses slew him and hid him in the sand. And he fled away out into the wilderness. And you know the story all about it. How that he's out there herding the sheep. And there he is in the wilderness. He was 40 years in Egyptian, learning the craft of the Egyptian. And he's 40 years in the backside of the wilderness, learning to herd sheep. I love what an old Pentecostal preacher said. I remember him saying it when I was only a young boy. He said that Moses was 40 years learning to be a somebody. Then he said Moses was the next 40 years learning to be a nobody. Then he said Moses was the next 40 years learning that God was everybody. My, that was some statement. I believe it was Albert Chambers said that. What a statement it was, isn't it true? And you know why one day Moses was herding his sheep, his father-in-law's sheep, he saw a bush burning on the mountainside and it wasn't consumed. You know, people talk about it. One evening it was burning and he gathered up. I don't believe it happened like that at all. I believe it burned for days. That's what I believe. I believe it burned for a long time because it never went out. And it burned long enough that he kept looking at it and he kept staring at it till he said, I'm going to have to go and investigate and see what this is. And he was forbidden to go to the mountain. No man could see God and live. Moses went up onto that Mount Sinai and there the bush was burning and a voice spoke to Moses. And the voice said to Moses, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. I tell you, Moses met with Almighty God. He met with Almighty God and God sent him down and Moses said, who will I say sent me? And the voice said, I am, have sent you. I am. They'll want to know your name. And he said, just tell them I am. Not I was. Not I will be. I am. My still I am tonight. Amen. I am a very present help in the time of trouble. The same I am that stood with Moses. And still I am tonight. And I tell you, God sent Moses down with these mighty signs. Moses had power to close the heaven and open it and all these wonderful things he could do. He could put his hand into his bosom and bring it out and it was leprous and he could put it in again and it was clean. He could take a staff and throw it down and it could turn into a serpent and he could take a staff up again and it was the staff again. I tell you, Moses was God's man. But isn't it wonderful that when it came to this point of the death angel coming, that God never said to Moses, use your staff, and God never said to Moses, pray to the heavens, and God never said any of them things to Moses. But God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. God said, I need to see the blood. And this is the start of my message tonight. Blood has to be seen. I want to tell you that the blood of an animal can't be seen after a time because it congeals, it dries up, it withers away, it perishes. There's no life within it. But the blood of Jesus can be seen because it's eternal blood, because it's from an eternal being. I tell you, God requires to see blood. It wasn't just the blood in the basin, but it was the blood applied that God wanted. God wants the blood applied. Reinhard Bonnke one time was on a television program, and they brought an atheist on. They never told him they were bringing him on. They tricked him, really. While Bonnke was on the program, the atheist thought he had a smart question for Bonnke. And he said, "Bonnke, you're always preaching about the blood." Bonnke said, "That's right." And he said, "You're preaching the blood can save the whole world, and the blood can save Africa, and all of it, the power of this blood, what it can do." And then he says, "Well, why is this, and why is there this?" And they give all these reasons of the whys. And Bonnke said, the whole time he talked, he prayed. And he said, "The Holy Spirit give him the answer." And he says, "Mister, the shop sells soap." Praise God. And he says, "You can go to the shop and you can buy the soap. And you can hold the soap. You can have the soap in the bathroom. You can have the soap in the shower or on the side of the bath. But the soap will never clean you. The soap will never be any good to you until you apply the soap. But if you ever apply the soap, and you wash in the soul. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, amen, is powerful enough to wash 1,000 worms if they'd only but apply it. I tell you, God said to Moses, "When I see the blood." The blood was no use in the basin. The blood had to be applied upon the door lintels and upon the post of the door. And when the blood was applied, God could see the blood. And when God sees the blood, the death angel couldn't come over. Because God saw the blood. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." I tell you, in the Old Testament, you know, they took the right thumb and they marked the ear with the blood. And when they saw the blood mark, it was a sign. And I want you to know, when the mark of the blood of Jesus is upon you, the devil can see it, the demons can see it, and I want you to know in this meeting tonight that devils and demons fear the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. There's power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. God wants to see the blood. I tell you, the blood must be seen, and for it to be seen, we must apply it. Apply the token. God's prophet in this end time preached a whole sermon about it. You know, I was thinking tonight as I was coming, and some of you brethren know what I'm talking about. Isn't it amazing how many preachers there is? And I won't say no names, because people, you know, they get really offended. You could preach against the Baptists and the Free Peace and all these different denominations, and everybody would be hallelujah and amen. But boy, you say a word against the message churches, you're in trouble. But what if their things is false? Would they not need corrected? I tell you, you go on the internet if you want. I don't bother with it too much myself. But you go on some of these sites, and it's part 5, and it's part 6, and it's part 15 even, on the rapture, on the third pole. And there's so many parts in all these things. But I'll challenge you this. Go on and find me a man that's 15 parts preaching on the blood. Can you get me him? I want to tell you something. William Branham never preached 15 parts on the things they're preaching 15 on. But he preached about the blood of Jesus. Want you to know that every man that's called to preach must preach about the blood of Jesus. And the most important message for this world to hear is that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Yeah. There's no remedy for sin, only the blood. There's no cure for sin, only the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. None other, praise God. I'm going to have to get this coat off, Elijah. Praise God. Thank God for the blood. I tell you one thing, the atheist was stumped. It answered his question. Only the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Now, I don't want to dwell too long on this, but I don't believe you can dwell too long on the blood. That's one thing about it. Would you not agree with me in this house tonight? If a man can justify preaching 20 sermons on the rapture, surely I could justify preaching a few on the blood. And the word rapture's not even in the Bible. Not in it, nowhere. Jesuit priest was the man that made up the word rapture. It just means catching away. But the Bible talks about being caught up. It doesn't say rapture. It talks about being caught up. And then people have took the word rapture, which is not in the Bible, then they've added to it. And they put a bit here and a bit here and a bit here. And this word rapture now doesn't mean apparently caught up. It means a whole list of stuff now. Where's the simplicity in that? You not believe? Brother, I believe in the rapture, the catching away, being caught up, surely. I believe in it the way the Bible teaches it, the way God's prophet brought it. But I do not believe some of this stuff is floating about, not for one minute. If it doesn't edify you, something wrong with it. And if it doesn't glorify the Lord, keep clear of it. It's all about Him. Praise God. The Lamb was not what God looked upon. When Moses said, slay a lamb, it wasn't the lamb that God looked upon. It was the blood of the Lamb that God looked upon. And people today have statues and they have crosses and they have all sorts of stuff. But you see, it's not that. It's the power of the blood that was shed on the cross.
Amen.
That's what we need tonight.
Glory.
You can have a statue of the cross. You can have crosses all over your house and sell the lost and sell on your way to hell. But if you ever have an experience with the blood of the man that was on the cross, if you've ever washed in the blood of the Lamb of God,
amen,
you're saved for all time and for all eternity. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sanctified for us. I tell you, Christ was sanctified for us so that we could be holy. So God wants to see this blood. Here's another thing about this blood in Hebrews 12:24. This blood must be sprinkled. Hebrews 12:24 says, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. This blood must be sprinkled. I tell you, just like you read the Old Testament, and it says the high priest went up to the veil and he sprinkled the veil 7 times. And you read that all through it. He sprinkled the things here and he sprinkled here. And it's all about the sprinkling of the blood 7 times. Now I want you to get someone here with this. You think of it. If I just sprinkled a bit of water over you tonight, you would barely feel it. I want you to get this. But the blood of Jesus sprinkled over his people, though it's not much, it's powerful. there's life in the blood of Jesus. Praise God. You can't sprinkle blood that's congealed. You can't sprinkle blood that has perished. You can't sprinkle blood that's lost. You can't sprinkle blood that's corrupted. And you can't sprinkle blood that is extinct. Oh, Lord, have us to believe we've moved on. I'm going to tell you something in this meeting tonight. That's a devilish doctrine. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
That's a devilish doctrine. When a man says, I'm taking you away from the blood to the new message, right away I'm not with him. I'm not with that man. There's someone within me that's not with him. But he's no message. For the power lays in the blood. The Holy Spirit life come because of the blood. The prophet of God said when the first bloodshed broke at the cross, God's life, the Zoe life of God, was released to God's people. And that bears record of what Paul said in Romans 8, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you and will quicken you. I thank God for the quickening power of the blood. Let me read you this from the waters of separation. I got back there and I saw the vision that changed my picture altogether. I seen the world turning. And I noticed around it was a streak like red all around. And I wondered what it was. And as I drew close, I seen myself as a boy. And when I would have sinned, well then I seen Jesus standing in front between me and God. And his blood acted as a bumper. Every time I'd do anything wrong, it would hit him. And he'd say, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. Now stop for a moment and hold this thought. This is the difference between William Branham and Jesus. His people preach that he's just the same as Jesus. That's false teaching now. Jesus never ever needed anyone to stand between him and the Father, for the Father was in him. He never had sinned. Jesus, even as a boy of 8 years old, as 9 years old, right through his whole teenage years, he had no sin. He's absolutely unique. But here God's prophet telling you he's done wrong. He's telling you he sinned. Now we know God kept him. And it was God that kept him, for he said he wanted to do it. The drinking of the whiskey, and the wind came and stopped him. The shooting of the boy with the rifle, she threw out the wee 22 bullets, and they never shot the boy. And at once he said it a temper like a buzzsaw. And he thought the gun was broken. When the wee fellow was away, he put one in her and she shot perfect. God spared him. God had a work for him. But Jesus never lost his temper like that. Jesus never did them things. You see, you can never put another man, I don't care who he is, up in the same pedestal as the Lord. And that man wouldn't let you. Amen. William Branham wouldn't let you. You see, if he was here today, he'd rebuke them boys. Absolutely blast them. He quit for preaching for a year because of it back in his time. Yes. Went off the field. And he said he called it a snake.
Yes.
That's what he called it, that sort of stuff. But that's just by the way, and we know that here. Praise God. It was just like the bumper in a car. God can't stand sin. The day you sin, you're gone. That's all. But the blood of Jesus was protecting me. The wrath of God from me and my sin would catch it. And he'd say, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. And I'd looked and I said, Lord, is my sin treating you like that? And the blood running down his face, and I looked and crawled up a little closer, and I'd seen a book here, and my name was at the top. And all kinds of sin wrote in it, and I said, will you forgive me? And he touched his side and wrote, pardoned. That's his message. That's the message the prophet preached. He preached he was a sinner. He preached he needed the blood to pardon him. Then we have men today preaching we don't need the blood. We have a new revelation. not from heaven. And it can go back to hell for it belongs. But it'll never produce anything that's heavenly. I tell you, this here stuff's heavenly stuff. The Lord from glory. The Lord from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Praise his name. Pardon, throwing it over in the back behind him in the sea of forgetfulness. And I said, no, I appreciate you, Lord. And he said, no, I was willing to forgive you your sins, but you want to condemn her for hers. And this is a woman in the restaurant with her blouse open, and you know what I'm talking about. And there he's judging her. All of us have been guilty of it, haven't we? Look at her people and saying, boy, look what they're doing. But even God still loves them. God still loves them. What did we do when we were out there? Paul said we were fornicators. We were adulterers. That's what Paul said. But now we're in Christ Jesus. I tell you, I'm not saying it's right. It's not right. It's sin. But the Lord loves them. He hates the sin but loves the sinner. Oh, praise God. You willing to forgive your sins, but you won't, you condemn her for hers. The apex of glory in Emmanuel's land is the blood sprinkling. If Christ's blood has not been preserved and sprinkled on the mercy seat of Almighty God, there's no way sinners could be reconciled to God. I tell you, I thank God the blood sprinkled. And you know the story of that woman in the restaurant. Brother Branham led her to the Lord. He led her to Christ. He said, him and her knelt down in the restaurant. And he led her to the Lord. I tell you, our God's merciful, isn't he? Never think somebody's went too far. Never think, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. Look, stop it. Take yourself back before you receive him. I tell you, you'll have all you want to look at. I couldn't condemn him, huh? Paul said, if sinners, whom was the chief? Now there's two sides to this. I don't care if you've been brought up with a silver spoon in your mouth and you've went to Sunday school all your life, you know, and you had your hair combed for you and your teeth cleaned all your days. You're still a sinner. You're lost without Christ. The drunkard and the man that takes his right, there's no difference. None in the eyes of God. Only one self-righteous. The other one knows he's wrong. I tell you something that's wonderful. When you see God save a man that is a big sinner, that man's glad. He's glad. Oh, thank God. Hebrews 9:23 says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavenly should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. There's my revelation. And the fellow said to me, how do you know he went to heaven with? He said, it means a tabernacle. I says, no, it does not. For it says he's not entered into the places made with hands. Amen. Moses never made this place for the Lord went. Oh no. No. I said, read your Bible. Aren't you glad for the Bible? Yes, it's the absolute. It's the rock. It's the stay. It's the true foundation. Praise God for it. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are a figure of the true. They're just to let you see what's really real that's coming. But into heaven itself. Glory to God. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should suffer after, that he should suffer, that he should offer himself often as the priesthood will marry someday. No, you can't re-offer him. He never can be re-offered. Once. Only once. So powerful was the effect. So potent was the blood. It only happened once. Amen. And it was enough to save the whole world. Amen. For God so loved the world. that he give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's verse 17 say? God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I tell you, thank God for the Saviour. Glory to his lovely name. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entering into the holy place. That's the one made with hands. The high priest went into it all the time. Every year with the blood of others. But Christ went into heaven once with his blood. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad. And the blood's living. Somebody said to me one time, but we don't preach about the chemistry. We don't really talk about it. The denominations talk about the chemistry. We don't put any emphasis on the chemistry. How many remembers when I preached a whole list of messages all about the chemistry? I can tell you, I've preached 20 sermons if you want on just on the chemistry. Certainly I can. You see, Noah's wrong, brother. This here book. We need to come back to this book. This is the book. The Spirit of Elijah sent to bring us back to this book. It's open now. This is an open book. An open book. It's all contained here. We can read this book. It's open. When the fullness of time was come, God sent another religion. No. Hebrews says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And lo, it's written that thou comest in a volume of a book to do thy will, O God. He is the Word made flesh. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word. He was there all along, and he can come on the scene when he wants. He took a lump of clay and he made a body and stepped in it. There's Melchizedek. Appeared to Job in a whirlwind. God can do what he wants. He's God. But I know the bit I love the most. He left the glory and splendor of heaven above. And he took upon him the form of a man. And he became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. He died as a man died. He took our place at Calvary so that we could be saved. He sprinkled his blood for you. Thank God for the sprinkled blood. Not with the blood of others, but with his own blood, Christ sprinkled the mercy seat of God. Sprinkled for you. The way is clear. I'll tell you another thing about this blood. It speaks. Jesus' blood speaks. If you look up William Branham's message and you say, does the blood speak? And he said, does the blood speak? And he goes into a whole sermon all about the blood speaking. And he says it spoke through seven church ages. He preaches a whole sermon about the blood speaking. I'll tell you, it's speaking still tonight. Genesis 4, 3 to 12 tells us all about the whole situation. For Cain rose up and slew Abel. And I'm not reading it for the sake of time, but Genesis or Hebrews 12, 24 says about it as well. And says how Cain slew Abel. And God said to Cain, what have you done with Abel? For the voice of his blood cries to me from the thorns. Here's a revelation. And Jesus shed his blood under the thorns. And the thorns cry. You know, many times when I preach and I've told you the comparison and the contrast, I've done it many times. Both were shepherds. Abel and Christ. But Abel's blood cried from the thorns, and Abel's blood cried to God for vengeance on Cain. But Christ's blood cried from the thorns for mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you, thank God for the blood. it not cried from the thorns. I thought it was wonderful when our brother David Nash came. How many remembers when he preached about the thorns? He said, if you're out at night in Africa and the lions is going to be there, and you know they'll scare the life right out of you. And a member of God went to Cindy and he said, you know, if you have to be caught out at night, and he said, that big male lion roars. He says, it doesn't matter how many guns you've with you, it terrorizes you to the depths of your life. You're afraid. Because the lion's the king of the jungle. He is. And you look up yourself and you'll see the size of lions. There's different types of lions. Some of them's absolutely massive. Them big male lions, they are strong. There's nothing like them. But it was wonderful that Brother David Nash said, if you're caught out, you get the thorns. And you put the thorns round you. And the lion won't cross the thorns. And Jesus Christ's blood was shed on the thorns of his brow. And the enemy can't pass. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Boy, I thought it was beautiful. He won't pass the thorns. I tell you, you apply the thorns that Christ bore. He shed his blood under them thorns. You know, when they took those thorns and they made a crown for him in mockery. And those thorns, I looked them up, they can be up to 3 inches in length. And they put them on his head. And the Bible says they beat them into his forehead. They beat them in. You've ever, you fellas at farming, have you ever cut hedges? Now I've done a bit of it. Nothing as nasty as a thorn. But you think of them big thorns that would go right into you. And then you think of it, they're made specially, and then they're beaten into your forehead. Right into you, like spikes driven into your head, and the blood coming down your forehead, and the blood coming over you, all over you, running down the precious blood of Jesus. Then somehow soft shirt comes up and tells you we don't need to preach the blood. Away with them.
Amen.
Get rid of them.
Yes.
Sack them.
Amen.
Never give them the pulpit.
Amen.
Such shouldn't be. Paul says, oh, I don't agree with that, brother. Paul the apostle says, I wouldn't bear with them for a minute. Not for a minute. I tell you something, apostasy isn't rife today. Jesuits have crept in everywhere.
Yes.
Slipped in. And bringing in damnable heresies. And they're taking men and women away from this book.
Yes.
And they'll use whatever they have to use. Paul said they said they were with us, but they weren't off us. For if they had a bit off us, they would have believed. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I tell you, Christ's blood speaks for you tonight. Speaks for you. It speaks to the enemy of your soul and it says, don't touch him. He's the redeemed of the Lord. Many a time, many of us here should have been dead. Oh, he would have took us. Oh, yes. He would have snuffed your lamp out. But for the voice of the blood. Thank God for the voice of the blood.
Amen.
Listen, you hear what I've wrote here? I haven't even got the part two of this message yet. We might have to do all these series I'm talking about. 1, 2, and 3 and all the rest of it. The freshly shed blood of Abel cried to God from the ground and was heard by God and answered by God. Blood speaks. Did we say, does the blood speak? Can it speak? The tokens speak. Yes, sir. And he quotes Genesis 4:10. I'm reading a quotation. The voice of the blood of Abel cried against Cain. We find out in Hebrews 12:24 that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things. The blood speaks. How can chemistry speak? It's the life in it that speaks. Oh, I'll tell you, it's something, isn't it? How can the world believe it? Show me. But God said, let there be light. And the world came from nothing. That's the same thing. You look at the blood and you say, how can it speak? man's blood. His life. And I tell you, when his life comes into your life, you're born again. Born again of an incorruptible seed, which liveth in the fire forever. You can't die, for your eternal, that eternal one has birthed you. And you're born again. Oh, I'll tell you something, you could fall asleep, absent from the body, present with the Lord, but you're not dead.
Amen.
You're just promoted.
Glory.
Thank God for promotion. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? That soul that was in pain that cried, and evil that cried, it was a life that was in Christ that cries out, better things than any. It speaks loud. It's the Holy Spirit. It speaks plain. It tells us that the time is here. When we see it here, it said it would say it. And then we see it come back and identify what it said. It's, there is nothing else left but to believe it. That's right. To receive it. It's constantly. And it generally speaks better things than that of Abel's. Abel's blood speaks. And Christ's blood speaks even better. Blood speaks tonight, praise God. Look at the clock. Clock's beating me. Have to get rid of her. I'm near finished. I'm only going about 5 more minutes. Even if I'm not finished, I'll finish. Preacher's never finished. You know that. See, when you're working with this word, there's no such thing as been finished. It keeps going on. You can look at this and develop something and think you've done a great job and go back in a month and what you had was only a drop in the ocean. The Holy Spirit opens this word up and he feeds you on the finest of the manna. Let me read you this. I'll read this quotation from Spurgeon and I'm going to stop. These quotations bless me. I want you to know that. And I'm only down to part 2, brother. Praise God. All these parts, as John talks about the flower, we never even got the 3/4 on, the 4/4 on tonight. But praise God. Let me read you this and I'm going to close. See how red your guilt. Mark the scarlet stain. If you were to wash your soul in the Atlantic Ocean, you might incarnadine every wave that washes all its shores. And yet the crimson spot of your transgression would still remain. But plunge into the fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and in an instant you're whiter than the snow. Every speck, every spot, and every stain of sin is gone and gone forever. Isn't that wonderful? Spurgeon says in another place when he's preaching, he says, may my tongue always preach about Christ and his precious atoning blood till this voice lies silent in the grave. But I want you to know tonight that we're encompassed about with the great cloud of witnesses. There's a heavenly host near tonight. Brother Brian, when he had his experience, Brother Brian Freeborn, it was wonderful what he said. He said when there was a great avenue ministered by the gospel. Great avenue. There was a ministering into the kingdom, and the only thing that can bring in is the gospel. Nothing else. The gospel of Christ. And he said, no man gloried there, only the Lord. They weren't talking about this fella or this fella. It was the Lord. All the attention was in Christ the Lord. And only Christ the Lord. Aren't you glad the Lord loves you tonight?
Amen.
His blood was seen for you. His blood was sprinkled for you. And his blood speaks for you. It was seen for you before God. It sprinkled the mercy seat of God for you. And it speaks for you. Thank God for tonight. And I want to tell you, he says, by my stripes you're healed.
Amen.
There's healing in the blood. Power to save and power to heal. 4 square gospels right, isn't it? Jeffrey said the truth. People threw it away, but what they had was still true. Savior, healer, baptizer of the Holy Ghost, and coming King is still true. It's still the truth. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Praise God. You receive from the Lord tonight as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you most of all for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you give your life freely, a ransom for many, so that we which are not a people are made now the people of God because of the act of your Son upon the cross once and for all. We thank you for those wonderful words, it's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto man. We thank you, Lord, this evening that the grave couldn't even hold you. But you broke the bars asunder. And you rose triumphant o'er the foe. And you're seated at the right hand of the majesty in high tonight. You are sat down. The work's done. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, tonight. And you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Lord, we have nothing of our own that we could claim to come with. But we come pleading the blood of the Lamb. We come pleading the precious atoning blood of the Lamb. The blood that saved. The blood that sprinkled. And the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel's. Yeah. We come under that blood tonight to your throne room. For we may find help in the time of need and mercy. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Father, bless your people in this house tonight. Touch people in their bodies. Lord, we started out tonight that it said, this plague shall not come now thee. When I see the blood. Lord, I rebuke every plague that would come against your people by the power of your blood in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that the token will be applied on our sons and our daughters. And upon all that's near and dear to us tonight, we ask that the token be upon them in Jesus' precious name. Speak to that young man. Speak to that young woman. Save them and deliver them, we pray. We ask for the children in your midst tonight. Bless that wee boy. Bless that wee girl. Touch them by thy mighty divine power. Lord, you said you were wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes we are healed. We thank you tonight for your healing. We thank you for the power of your blood. Father, part us for your blessing that maketh rich and out of no sorrows. Bless each and every one that's in this room tonight. Bless each and every one that's on our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to serve you. Help us to put this book first. Guard us from the enemy, oh God. Keep us headstrong and fenced in. By the power of your word and the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. And we ask you will lead and guide our every step. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes. God bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night. As normal. And then next Sunday, Brother John, may God be preaching the Lord will and I. Be in Manchester. That's the plan anyway. The Lord bless each one.
I got one that you have to pull up. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that blood to dissolve their enemies. Let's stand at our feet.